Welcome to the Sunday Debrief from the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, The Wombles Had a Dream. My name is Lee Finch, and we'll be discussing the home victory yesterday, the 4-2 win at sold-out Plough Lane against Notts County. So, yeah, we won 4-2. A great game of football. Some people I've seen on social media are saying it's the best that we've played at Plough Lane. That is up for debate, but I can't really go against it. I thought we were excellent from start to finish. We'll go through the team and the formation, and then I'll ask if anyone wants to speak, anyone wants to have their say, press the speak button. Come on, have your say. Debate the game yesterday with like-minded Wimbledon fans. If you can't speak, if you're out and about, you're busy, it's loud where you are, press the comments button, send your comment, and then we'll talk about everything that you want to talk about. So, yesterday we started with Alex Bass in goal. Ogundia came in for the suspended Hasbulla. And then it was Johnson came in for Alex Pierce. And then it was Joe Lewis, Jack Curry, Tilly, Lemony Evans, Reeves and Little. And then we had Davison come in for the suspended Bugle. And Ali returned from international duty up front. I was quite worried at the start of the game. I said to the lads that I'm in a group with that I was going to be quite worried about us getting overrun in the midfield yesterday because of the way Notts County play. They play very quick football, like to get the ball up to the attackers very, very quickly, overrun people in midfield. And I was quite worried with us setting up with a 4-4-2. But I have to say, and I have to give massive credit to Johnny Jackson on the way that he set us up yesterday, formation-wise, team selection-wise. I thought it was brilliant from start to finish. One of the things that Danny on the podcast has said previously is about our wingers interchanging, our players interchanging. We don't do it often enough. And I've got to say, yesterday, I thought across the board, I thought we changed it around quite quickly, quite regularly. So Evans would go from the wing to behind Davison and Ali. Other times, Davison would drop a bit deeper into the Bugle role more, and I thought Davison yesterday was excellent. A couple of people I've seen have said, and one of my mates was messaging me during the first half saying that Davison was an empty jersey. He was a bit of a waste out there, which I have to disagree with. I thought Davison was excellent. He's chasing, he's running around. He didn't stop. He was harrying them, forcing them into mistakes, which meant that then when we got the ball in Reeves, Little, Evans, Tilly, we could then play it through to Ali and go over the top of them when we had the ball. We didn't have a lot of the ball yesterday. If you've seen the stats, I think it was 25, 27% possession. I think it was 25% at half-time when we were 2-0 up. And as their manager said, we could have been 5 or 6-0 up at half-time. But what we did with the ball, we did it superbly. So get it over the top of them. I thought Bostock for them was an absolute donkey. You can see he's getting on a bit now because Ali just had him on toast and we could just get through him easily. So, bear with me. I'm just eating a kebab and chips. So struggling a bit. So if you want to speak, press the speak button. Sanchez coming up to do that now. But yeah, if you've got anything you want to say regarding the game yesterday, please press that speak button. Press comments. We've had a comment coming already. But yeah, Sanch, how are we? We good?
Mate, really good. Like, can you hear me?
Yeah, can hear you loud and clear.
Mate, I've not missed a home game since we've been back. And I thought we were, across the board, really, really good from start to finish. As you said, they had a lot of the ball, Notts County. But their defending was comical. They played a real high line. And, you know, we could have easily had 5 or 6, you know, Ali, different gear. But when he really finds, you know, gets total finesse, he will just bang him in for fun. But I thought we were really good. Lemon was really good. I know he dropped a clanger for their goal, but he was pinging it about, some of the balls through. Bass save was an absolute weldy that kept us in the game. I'll be honest, it might not be popular. The only one I thought was average for me was Tilly. He, to me, looks still a little bit injured, but I just thought it was a really good game, you know, and long may it continue.
I disagree with you on Tilly there, Sanch, because I think it was a different game for him yesterday. Obviously, we've seen him go forward. We've seen him attack players. And some people have even called him greedy at times, where I think he'd done a different role yesterday. He defended. I think Plough Lane, by numbers, put a stat out that he won the most tackles. in the game. Oh, that was first half. He definitely won the most tackles. I think it was like five. So that was a different side of the game that we're not used to seeing with Tilly, but one that he performed excellent yesterday. There's not one player in the team yesterday that I could say was under an eight, probably, because I thought we were superb. Evans, I think if we go on and draw that game or lose that game, then people are going to slate Evans straight away. I've always been a big fan of Evans, always said he was a decent loan and we should have signed him permanently, or we should sign him permanently, and what a good loan he is. But yeah, I thought he was superb yesterday. And he is looking the player that some people have said to me. I know someone's listening, so they'll laugh at the comment I've just made. But yeah, they've said to me that he is a class above, and I actually have to agree now. I think he was superb again yesterday. Jonathan, I'll come to you. We've just had... Sorry, Saints, go back, and then I'll... Because we've just had four or five... Yeah.
I thought they were all good. They're all really good. I thought, being honest, though, that Armani Little was mustard. I thought he was man of the match, to be honest.
Yes, totally agree. Totally agree. I thought he was excellent. I think he's been excellent. Big worry for me, and I know a big worry for a lot of Wimbledon fans out there, is that I think he signed a 1-year deal when we signed him. I think I saw that today when someone said a 2-year deal, but I'm sure it was announced a 1-year. I think we have to get that signed. I think that's got to be a priority for us now, because he looks brilliant. He looks mustard against... And what a captain Jake Reeves is. Absolute. The difference from last year, I know, don't want to talk about last year and Alex Woodyard too much, but the difference is just so different between all of them. But yeah, I thought Little was class yesterday. Right, so I'm going to try and get through as many people as possible, because as I said, we've got quite a few hit me all at once. We're also getting all the comments coming in as well. So I'll go Jonathan, Kevin, John, and then Tim. So Jonathan, what did you want to say regarding yesterday's game, mate?
Well, obviously they played really great. It was just an amazing game of football to watch, and I was so happy about it. A couple things I wanted to point out. First of all, Reeves converting both pens. We had got to talk about how important that is, because it's been such a problem for us to convert penalties. And to get two of them, no doubters, done by your captain, it sets a tone, and it's the kind of thing that is going to, I really think it's going to stick with us moving forward. The other thing, I mean, JJ, obviously, tactically, he won. He did a great job yesterday. I am still concerned that this is the same manager that has done some things earlier in the season that I think we all find very questionable. I don't know if it was just the matchup or whether he's turned a corner or something, but I really hope that we see more of this kind of managing and less of the things that we saw that were just had all of us shaking our heads earlier this season. And then finally, I want to talk about Jack Curry really quickly. I saw a lot of people talk about what a great game he had, and I think he had a great game in a way, because in the first half, we saw him get beat really badly three times, really badly. Like, we were lucky we didn't concede he got beaten so badly. But he made the adjustments, and he played the rest of the game really hard. And even though he picked up a yellow, he was really solid for the rest of the game. So I think that his performance was really good, but not because it was, you know, 90 minutes of awesome, but it was because he was just getting smoked early on. But he made the adjustments, and that's the kind of thing that I hope all of our young players are going to learn from and see that, because we've had some inconsistency problems, especially with the younger guys. And if they can see Jack Curry just not do well at the beginning, but make the adjustments and then have a great game after it, that's where I think the real value was in Jack's performance yesterday.
Jonathan, on 2 points, I have to agree with you. The penalty, I think the first penalty is crucial for us. One, because we're crap at penalties this season. We've missed more than I think anyone's ever missed in record. And for him to put it away and put it away with such ease, and the way he put it away, top ends, do you know what I mean? You can't go wrong. So when he stepped up for the second pen, I weren't even worried by then. Which, when we got the first penalty, I said to people, like, just calm down. We don't even know if we're going to score this yet, because we've missed so many. And he just puts it away easy, and that was a thing. And I think you're right with Jack Curry. He was getting roasted first half by their winger, one of the best wingers I think I've seen this season in the league. He was getting roasted, getting torn a new one, got booked. He made an unbelievable challenge on Langstaff. I think it was it second half? He literally looked like he was a score. Jack Curry comes in, and I like his resilience, as you said, that he keeps going. He didn't let the booking affect him. He didn't. Every time he'd come up against the winger, it was like, right, you've done me before, but you're not going to do me this time. Yeah, I thought you were brilliant yesterday. Kevin, I'll come to you, and then I'm going to go to John Tynan and then Tim.
Evening, mate. Hope you're all good. Great game. Absolutely unreal, unreal game, unreal atmosphere. I'd agree with everything. I mean, we talk about Ali, what he's worth. What's Curry worth? You know, there's a lad who can play League One quite easily. And do you know what? He wouldn't be out of place in a lot of championship sides. So, you know, someone who's going to go on and play a lot higher. Two things for me, really. Strangely enough, yesterday, the thing that we worried about, which was the midfield, that was where we won it because he did 100% get it right. And also, fair credit to the forum. They absolutely run their nuts off and played unreal, you know. Tilly had a quiet one, but you know what? He was up and down, and Evans was just everywhere apart from the, you know, the first goal. He was unreal, absolutely unreal. So fair play to all of them. The second thing I've got to say, and I think you touched on it, he got it right. And to be honest, the difference between the two managers, and it's something we've seen so much in the reverse, was that he got it right yesterday and we won it in that midfield. The Notts County looked, I mean, Ali was roasting them at the back all the way through the first half. And he just sat there. He didn't change it. And it was, you know, they definitely lost it on that. So fair play to him. And yeah, great game, mate.
No, I agree. I think the Notts County manager was in the press quite a lot, or on social quite a lot during the week, because he was talking about his corners. And he was quite funny in regards to his press conference regarding how they do corners. They scored from a corner, which was very well worked. I don't know how they had a man back post free, but yeah, shows that they worked. They score goals for fun. But yeah, I would be fuming if we were playing that high line against Ali or against a player of that quality all the time. And obviously it didn't work for him. But I'll give their manager credit. He came out after in their press conference and he had nothing but praise for us, which was good and refreshing to see. So, yeah, it was just a great all-round performance. John, you wanted to say something regarding yesterday's game. What was it, mate? John Tynan? John, are you there? 3, 2, 1. John, unfortunately, you missed the chat. Tim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Hi, Lee. First time caller and first visit to Plough Lane this season. But I have been to the last four away games. I live up north, so I went to Harrogate, Mansfield, Barrow, Morecambe. And what a difference. I agree with what others have said earlier. I think anyone actually could have been man of the match yesterday. They were all fantastic. But I would give it to JJ because... Sorry, my dogs are barking. You don't need that.
He's obviously agreeing with what you're saying.
It's the first time I've seen him do it. And it was such a difference to what I saw in October up north. I was getting so frustrated because the four games I saw in October, it was the same team every game. They played the same way. And our opponents found us out, especially Morecambe, but also Accrington at Plough Lane. And in a way, I thought JJ in October was a bit like the Notts County manager yesterday. I've got my way of playing. I'm going to stick to it. And that ultimately, I think, is why we beat Notts County, because they play the same way all the time. And JJ, to his credit, put a narrow midfield diamond in and it worked. So, you know, I've been a critic of him. I'm still not convinced by him. But I thought yesterday he got it right. And for me, he was the man of the match.
No, I tend to agree, because I said, I think yesterday was excellent regarding tactically how we played. People have said in the comments, I'll go back to your point a minute, regarding the formation, and was it because of Notts? Someone said, would JJ have gone that way if Omar wasn't suspended? Credit where it's due, great tactical game. And then someone else said, Harry, the Don, said Davis and Ali worked well up top together. So it's good that Jackson was forced into playing him. Do you think, everyone listening, and Tim, I'll come back to you first, do you think that he's had to change it tactically because of Omar's being suspended, that he had to go with David? Because I said during the week on the pod, I would have gone with Ball probably and moved Little further up, which I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he showed me up that he knows more than me. But yeah, was it a forced way of playing, or does he take the full 100% credit on that?
It's probably a bit of both, isn't it? I mean, I'd be really interested to see what he does on Tuesday. Does Omar come straight back into the team? Because I personally would be really tempted to keep Evans at the point of the diamond. And also, I thought Little was playing a bit further up because he was sort of playing on the right of the diamond, wasn't he? Which gives him a bit more freedom. So I think the proof of the pudding will be in the eating. I think too often JJ focuses on what we do and sometimes not enough on what the opponents do. And I think yesterday, you know, he conceded that we were going to have very little possession. But, you know, Notts County, I think, are a better footballing team than us. But we played the better game. We were more professional. And to score four goals with 25% possession, I mean, it's quite something, really, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. And it wasn't just four goals as well. As their manager said, we could have been 6-0 up at half time. So if you look at stats, we 25% possession. I think we had 10 shots. I'm just getting stats up in front of me now. So we had 13 total shots. 8 of them were on target, 3 off target. They had 5 on target. I can't remember. I think Bass made one save when it was 2-1 or 2-0. I can't remember now what it was, but Bass made a crucial save at one point. Curry made a crucial block. But other than that, they weren't. I thought they were good going forward, considering people have said these are the best attacking team in the league. They are shocking at the back, though, to be fair. That Bostock, for me, I know he's been around years, but he looked like an absolute donkey. He was running around. For the goal, did people see his reaction for the goal where we went down when we put a challenge in and he dived like he'd just been shot, and it was just ridiculous. And I'm glad the ref didn't buy it, because I know other refs have been critical. I thought the ref yesterday was pretty good. He played a good game. I thought Curry's booking was fair. And yeah, I don't think he, he was good at all. Bostock was an absolute donkey. So anyone else who wants to get involved, as I say, press that speak button, come and have your say regarding the game yesterday or anything else you want to speak about regarding FC Wimbledon. A lovely 4-2 home win at sold out Plough Lane. And if you can't speak, press the comments, send your message in a comment and we'll go through them. Kevin, what do you want to say, mate?
I think getting back to them, unreal wingers, yeah. Played some good football. They moved it around, but there was a lot of sideways passing and stuff. I mean, probably I sat there for the first 15, 20 minutes, almost thinking it was like a sort of pre-season friendly. We sort of sat really well in the shape. They didn't really try to do too much with the ball. So, yeah, they had a lot of the ball. It was almost a bit like, you know, Chelsea in the cup. Had a lot of the ball, but there wasn't really a lot of it at the end of it. And I sort of sat there after 40 minutes thinking, we've had a hatful of chances. And what have they really done? So, yeah, they had a lot, but didn't really do anything with it, though, did they?
No, I agree. And I think we probably looked at it and thought, well, first 15, 20 minutes, let's just see what they've got. Let them. I always said teams can have the ball as much as they want in front of us in their own half. Do you know what I mean? As you said, if they want to pass sideways, back sideways, let them do it. When we got the ball, we done everything that we needed to do with it. We got it quickly to Ali. I said on the pod again that I was worried about Ali coming back. I think even he put that he literally just come back from the plane. So he got off the plane, straight to Plough Lane, straight in the game. We've seen him before when he's come back from international duty. He has looked sluggish. He has looked tired. But he didn't. He looked like he'd probably still on a high from playing international football. And I thought he gave him a torrid time. People are worried in January now if we're going to be able to keep him. I'm worried if we're going to be able to keep Curry and him. But yeah, I think we just have to enjoy the good times that we have with him currently. Terry, how are we? We good?
Yeah, how are you, Lou? Yeah, fine, thanks. I'm just picking up on JJ. If you remember his first season, it took him a long while to realise that we didn't have the team for playing out the back. And eventually it got through to him. Now, this season, he's always said, let other teams worry about us. We're not changing. But yesterday, he did change. So, to me, he's proving, in spite of what a lot of the supporters say on the social media about he's not learning, he is learning. And he's learning good and quick. Because yesterday was such a different change. I agree with Kevin, the first 20 minutes it had not written all over it. And then suddenly it just took off. So that I thought, whatever he done yesterday, however long it took him to get there, eventually it's the right move.
No, I agree. And as I said, I think we said on the pod before when we were in a bad run of form where we lost to Morecambe, well, drew with Barrow, lost to Morecambe, lost to Accrington, and everyone was literally on his back straight away. After two losses, it was, he's not good enough. We want him out and stuff. And as I said, last season, I would have agreed and said, yeah, unfortunately, JJ has not done enough. But again, we beat Doncaster, beat Cheltenham. Who else did we play? I can't remember all the results at the moment. But yeah, we've gone and smashed Notts County yesterday. Notts County destroyed Bradford the week before. Do you know what I mean? They're scoring goals for fun. And I thought everything that we did yesterday was 100% spot on. The way we set up, and as I said before, do people think it was the best performance they've seen at Plough Lane or at home? Because we are now turning it into Fortress Plough Lane. We wasn't winning too many games there before in the last couple of years. But as I said, we dispatched Cheltenham. we've now dispatched Doncaster, we've dispatched Notts County. Matt, if you're listening, you said before that we've only played the teams in the lower half. We've just gone and beat a team that were third yesterday, and we're beating teams for fun. So we are now, this is the thing I think now JJ has got, is that we want to see these performances week in, week out now, and we are getting them. We have a good squad now. We can move the squad about if we want. Pierce came in last couple of games and didn't look out of place at all. I know people said we go backwards, he's old and stuff, but he was solid, he looked good. Johnson and Lewis are superb. So are we now Fortress Plough Lane? Is it a good place to go? Jonathan, do you want to say anything regarding that? Because you watch a lot of the games out there in the States.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard for me to know for sure because, you know, when you're watching on iFollow, it's difficult to get the full atmosphere and experience and whether you really have that. Because I think the Fortress idea is more than just the results. It's obviously the mood and the atmosphere, and it's hard to get that when you're watching, you know, from thousands of miles away. I will say, though, that the last three games at Plough Lane are kind of unprecedented since I've been a Dons fan for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, in that there were three really good performances at home. And we haven't had that in a long time. And, you know, it's one of those things where if we can keep that up, if we can keep the atmosphere going, if JJ continues to make tactical choices against the opponents that put our guys in the best position to do their best work, yeah, Fortress really sounds like something that is very attainable, and something that we can continue. And I think that breeds on itself. I think it affects the players when they have that kind of run at home, that they know if you're coming into our house, you better bring it because we're really good here.
No, agree. Sam, thanks for joining us. Was you one of the 8,479 that sold out Plough Lane yesterday? Sam, Elliot, are you there? You muted yourself? Hello, Sam.
Hello, mate. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Was you one of the 8,479 that sold out Plough Lane?
I was one of the 8,749 that sold out Plough Lane. Is that right? That's good stats, mate. Yeah, it was. Nice to have a team that cares this year, isn't it? I think that's my kind of like observation of things at the moment. Maybe cares is a bit of the wrong word. You kind of look back at the little lineups we had from last year. It's just a different level of attitude, professionalism and commitment, isn't it, this year? Especially lately as well. It's just really, really nice to see. You're enjoying going, finally. It's taken a while, hasn't it? But we're now enjoying going, aren't we?
Yeah, we've been doing this for a couple of years now, the debrief and stuff, and before it was very negative. A lot of stuff to say. We've spoken quite a lot on here regarding it was a chore to go to Plough Lane. It was a chore to go watch Wimbledon. I think what you said about a team that cares, I think it's just a team. I think Craig Cope has come in and listened to the fans. I think, obviously, the fan forum last year, I think Johnny Jackson's listened to the fans. And I think they've brought players in who are Wimbledon players. And I know some people say, well, that's like, you know what I mean? Everyone should be a Wimbledon player. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's different eras now, different modern football and stuff. But people like Joe Lewis, people like Johnson, do you know what I mean? People like Bass, Lemony Evans, people like that who come in little, they fight for this, like, do you know what I mean? Bringing in Reeves straight away, straight off the bat, early doors, signing him, making him captain. That's what we needed. And I think if it weren't for them two getting injured at the start of the season, we'd be looking at top three currently now. And I think it's mad to say that we're not, do you know what I mean? I know I don't want to get expectations up again because it's Wimbledon. You lose two games in a row now and everyone will be going back to the normal, do you know what I mean? This is crap, Johnny Jackson, that kind of thing again. But I think it's a Wimbledon team now and we haven't had that since, yeah, I think the playoffs that we won under with Lyle Taylor.
And I also think it's you know, not just praising purely Craig Cope, but you look at him and you think, you go through the signings we've made, what was it, 11, 12 of them in the summer, wasn't it? And every single one of them is pretty much, I'd say maybe bar the Hereford lad maybe and also Nuffield possibly, but every other single player that has been brought in as you'd say 7.5 minimum out of 10. And I just think when you get your recruitment to that level, then you know you have got a great chance of success, and I just think it's absolutely brilliant, mate. But no, come on, I know you're desperate to talk about it. I know you're desperate to talk about the empty seats at the stage you missed today, mate. Give you the platform. Come on, you are right. It's
The problem I've got with it, Sam, and people have dug me out yesterday regarding it. It's not negative. I don't like this thing that if we're winning and everything's sweet on the pitch, you can't be critical of other stuff going on. I think that the club don't help themselves with building it up. Do you know what I mean? And saying it's sold out. Do you know what I mean? Well, come down to a sold out player lane. It's nearly sold out when you look on a Saturday and it's empty. And one of the guys yesterday said that he comes from Lincoln. You try to get tickets before, obviously you can't pick. You have to pick and choose when it comes. It might be a last minute thing. Or some people might get off work and go, right, I can go down now. I can't go because it's sold out. And then you watch it and there's like loads of seats. I'm not talking one or two seats. The East Stand yesterday, there was 50, 100, possibly more.
Listen, I sit in the southwest corner, so over the other side. So I get a very good view of the East Stand. I would say, I look at it, honestly, I can guesstimate the amount of tickets. I would say it's only quite loosely, probably only around 250 spare seats in the whole stadium over our end yesterday.
Which is great.
Segregation, which is great. Listen, let's be positive for a start. Yeah. Before I start moaning, let's be positive. Agreed. We have had 5,000, sorry, say it again, five over 8,000 crowds so far this season. We're in November. That's excellent. You know, listen, we're now playing in front of double what we're playing in front of in King's Meadow. Let's get the positives in there, first of all, shall we? Before we tear into the club again.
Sam, I agree. I want to talk about a couple of positives. One of my mates who's come back to the club, used to go Sellers Days, hasn't been really around Plough Lane. He brings his boy now. He had a bet on Jake Reeves scoring first goal, 50p. He said to Jake Reeves, he met Jake Reeves after and said, I had a bet on you today, score first goal. Thank you very much. You won me £10 or something, pocket money. Jay Reese said to his wife, give me another tenner. I'm going to double that for you. There you go. Things like that. And the fan zone and the players we've got now is brilliant. But from my point of view, it's not overly quick. I just want the club to do kind of more.
I think we slag off MK
for having loads of empty seats, giving away for it and then going, look, they're saying they've got 11,000. There's only about 500 of them. Well, we don't want to be that club either. We want to fill as many seats as possible.
And I think a couple of people made the point, which is quite correct, yesterday. The game was sold out. Okay, the game was sold out. You can't, legally, they're not allowed to say, oh, can come in, you can sit in that ticket. When somebody is due in that ticket, you're legally not allowed to do that. All right. The problem, I rant on this on Facebook a number of times. The problem is, we know those tickets that are not sold there, and they're not debenture season ticket holders that aren't bothered to turn up. They're season ticket holders that haven't bothered to turn up. And it's the same seats. Every time. The same areas. So I've got a great view of it. I can see the same areas, the same letters of the Dons every time. Mm. My criticism of the club is, right, so we know a couple of criticisms of this one. We've not been able to fix the issue. The issue's been around for 3 years now, where it's the same seats every time, the same areas every time, same people not turning up. We're not able to fix it. First of all, we should be finding the time. Someone in the ticket office should be finding the time to communicate with these people. We should be finding out. You have the state data. You know who's in the stadium. You know who's not in the stadium. You have the data to find out who's not turning up. Ask them why. Find out why they're not turning up. Ask them. If they've not been for the last six Saturdays, phone them on the Wednesday of the game and say, look, are you coming to the game Saturday? If not, would you mind if we resold your ticket? We've got a couple of people that are really keen. We're struggling to get people in. What do you think? Can we open up lines of communication with the club? Put on social media more than once a week. Please return us your tickets. It's so frustrating. And it's just...
That's the thing I've got with it. They don't push it enough to go, look, we are literally at sold out. If you are not coming, can you please contact the club by this means? And that's my thing with it. I think we need to do more as a club and push it more than raving about how good we are at training or stuff like that. But getting them tickets and getting them seats filled, because there are Wimbledon fans now that are missing out on going to games. Because I saw someone yesterday, I think it was Martin Drake, said, why haven't you got a season ticket? And he's like, I live in Lincoln, I can't get a season ticket, I have to pick and choose my games. I totally get that. And I'd be annoyed if I thought, oh, I can't go Notts County at home now because it's sold out. And then I'm watching it and seeing hundreds of seats free and available. Yeah. And it is a frustration of mine. And I will always raise frustrations and be critical where I think it's due. I don't want to go on it too much because obviously yesterday was a great result on the pitch.
Agree totally. I think we've got to press the club on this. I think at some point, look, if games are getting sold out to the level they are at the moment, first of all, Plough Lane should have been bigger than it is. Let's be honest. let's be honest, the ground should be, this should be, those three stands, the rows should be three. There should be three rows more on each of those stands. That would have, yeah, it would cost money. We'd have made it back by now. The ground should be bigger, but it's just, we need to press the club for, to help supporters get into the grounds. We just think, this is the first time we've put a couple of results together at Plough Lane. People are going to want to come. And they can't. And they can't. What are we going to, what's it going to be like if we're ever going for a title? We're ever really going for a promotion? No, we've got some big games. Yeah, what's it going to be like? And then the demand for tickets is going to be even higher. And then people are going to start getting very annoyed. It's going to be, the problem is going to become more bad. At the moment, if you wanted to get a ticket, you can. You've got to think a bit quickly. But I think, you know, we can't just let the club just kind of just sit back and go, well, it's sold out, it's sold out. You know, fill those 300 seats. Give them away for free if you have to. Just
Before I go to Jonathan, Dan Stu, SW19, made a point. He said the two seats next to me, two have never had anyone in them since the beginning of the season and never been available to buy. So that's two seats that have never been used this season, exactly. Which is mad to me. And I think someone else made a point yesterday, though, which I think is a fairly good point. Because young children's seats are like 40 quid, I think, for a season ticket, some people will buy them in there because they think, right, 40 quid, even if little ones don't come that often, he comes to four or five games, I've got, it's cheap. It's cheaper than buying them on a day or something like that, which I kind of agree with. I kind of get the point behind it, but then it don't help the club massively. Jonathan, I'll come to you, and then we'll go back to Kevin.
Here in the United States, the local baseball team, the St. Louis Cardinals, make a point of announcing their sellouts every week, and it's such a joke because of the thousands of no-shows. It's actually become this running gag on Twitter where people who are at the game will take a photo of the stadium with the announced that it's a sellout on the big board. And in the St. Louis Cardinals have become the laughing stock for inflating these when people aren't showing up. I agree 100%. And if we're going to be a fan-owned club, there's got to be a much bigger press by the club to say, hey, if you have tickets, either be in your seats or turn them back in so that we can sell them to somebody who will be there, because that's going to be critical if we're going to be successful.
No, I agree. And I think Dan's made a point on the podcast before as well, saying that I know we announced it at 8,479 and 1,200 away fans yesterday. But then can we not announce how many actual people are in the ground? Do you know what I mean? And then it might say to people, well, this is the case. Do you know what I mean? Look, please start filling your seats. One, the club are losing money. And two, there's people that ain't, who could be diehard Wimbledon fans who might not be able to go to as many games, who can go to that game that can't get a ticket for it. Kevin, what did you want to say on the map?
I have exactly the same thing. So I'm in 122 in the east, and my son's moved. So he was next to me. He's moved to the road behind because his girlfriend's got a season ticket this year. We couldn't get the seat next to him, but nobody sits in it. And nobody's got it because I've spoken to the bloke who's got the next four who are season ticket holders. So the seat next to me is invariably always empty. Yeah. But it'll be sold out and I'll try and get the seat because I want to bring the little one and I can't because it's sold out. And then I'll turn up and there's nobody in there. It's great for me. I can stretch out over two seats. But it's fucking mad. The revenue that goes down the drain. Yeah. And to be honest, if I was like a casual and I thought, oh, I fancy going along to that. And I looked and it was sold out. And then I had a bit of a watch on the telly or something. And there's loads of empty gaps. I'd be thinking, don't know about this. Maybe I'll find something else. So it is crackers. It's good. They've got to do something about it.
No, I agree. I totally agree. And as I said, I think some people, you're not allowed to be critical of the club, even in the good times. I get it. We don't want it to be totally negative. But then when things need to be raised, they need to be raised. We're a fan of the club. And as I said, I was watching it again yesterday. I looked at all the empty seats and we've bigged it up. We are bigging it up as a sellout. You know what I mean? This is sold out. This is sold out. Announcing like 8,000 something. And then you're watching it thinking that it's not. It's 7,500 people there. Do you know what I mean? It's bad for me personally. John, you've asked to speak. Sorry, go on, Kev, because I'm going to see if John's available this time.
I was going to say, I think what Sam said is a really good idea. They'll know. Historically, these people who like come once a year or in some cases never ever come, let's contact them. You know, how long does it take to send an email out or make a phone call and just say, look, you haven't been for 6 weeks. Yeah. What's happening? Would you mind? We ain't going to turn around and say we're taking your seat away, but if you're not going to come for the next 4 weeks, would you mind if we resold your ticket? Nobody with any kind of, you know, brain or a sort of affiliation to the club is going to turn around and go, no, I want that seat to stay empty. It's a guaranteed winner, mate, isn't it?
No, I agree. And I, one part of me thinks that some people buying kids tickets, 40 quid a go, saying that, like my boy, I could buy a season ticket for him, even though he hates football, for 40 quid. And that guarantees me then tickets for the massive games. So it will guarantee me tickets for, say, Wrexham at home, the FA Cup games when we get a massive, say we get a Man U at home or something. For 40 quid, I've guaranteed a ticket then for that game. Do you know what I mean? And are people looking at that and thinking, right, I'm not going to be able to go many games. I'll buy my boy a season ticket next, do you know what I mean? And then I've guaranteed FA Cup games because you can just upgrade them to an adult for them games anyway. And are people doing that? And if they are, then one, the fans are letting the club down. And need to do more, and the club need to then go to them, look, you can't be doing this. You can't be buying a season ticket for 40 quid and using it once. Do you know what I mean?
But it was some maths, mate. I've got a bit of maths for you. So if the club were able to resell 300 tickets, okay, every game, 300 tickets at 25 quid or whatever you want to call it, do the maths on that, mate, and how much that is losing the club by us failing to resell these tickets.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's six figures.
That's a player. Do you know what I mean? For me, it ain't just on the club either. It is on the fans. As I said, are there people out there? And I'm not saying like there's going to be 1,000 people doing this, but are there people out there going, right, I can't go many games. I can't go any home games, actually. But I'll buy a 40 quid season ticket for my boy, and then I can guarantee myself a ticket for Man U for the big games.
I'll give you an example of how easy it was. I did it on Saturday. My mum couldn't come. My friend used his ticket. So my mum's ticket was spare, but I still gave it back to the club. I emailed the club, emailed Mandy, 10 PM on Friday night. Hi Mandy, ticket here, here's the name, or tickets at Wimbledon. Mandy replied within half an hour. Thanks Sam, have a good weekend. Enjoy the game. That simple. And that's the level of communication you get from the club. When you send a simple email. We've all got tickets at AFC Wimbledon on our emails. It's on our phones. How hard is it? I don't understand how hard it is. But that is why, again, all it needs, this is what it needs. It needs Chris Stewart to do a nice little piece on the website this week. This is what resales mean for AFC Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. Not only are you introducing new supporters to AFC Wimbledon, you are earning us potentially six figures a year, which is a player. You are allowing other people to look at this football club and look at our stadium. That's what it needs, again, but it comes down to communication. It comes down to time.
Before I move on, because I'm going to move on and talk about next, we're going to talk about who should we be looking to keep, maybe try and make sure people are here in the summer, so here till the summer. But last point I'm going to make on it, Paul Massey makes a really good point. Surely the empty seats have genuinely been sold, misses the extra revenue from reselling them, and I think someone said it's 20% of value back. Yeah, Matt put that. Misses extra revenue from reselling them and what they spend in the ground. We do, however, get money from selling them in the first instance, which is true. If it's kids' season tickets, then we should investigate Pearlie's point. And that's the thing I think. I think we need to be investigating why, as you said, Sam, why are people not turning up? Why is there one seat next to Kevin that's free literally every week? Why is there, the other point that Dan made, two seats next to him every week that haven't been used? They're the ones that we need to be looking at and going, right, that's 15, 20 seats. For me, that's 20 seats too many. Do you know what I mean? Because there are people going to miss out on massive games. As you said, if we're in amongst the playoffs and it's a playoff semi-final at home, I guarantee them seats will be filled. And you'll get people that have been every single game that won't be able to go, which I think is disappointing. Right, we'll move on. And as I said, Lloyd W. has asked, we need to start talking about extending Little's contract. Why can't we hold on to Ali until the summer? We're in a position of power. Regarding Imani Little, I 100% agree. I think he's been excellent this season. It's really hard at the moment if you could say, I know we're like pretty much halfway through the season and we're going to pick a player of the year. For me, it's really hard at the moment of which one you pick. I know Ali's going to be top of that list for many, but Little, Reeves have been excellent. Who else has been good for us? Lewis, Bass. So, yeah, for me, I would definitely be looking at extending Imani Little's contract. Omar Bugle, I think he only signed a one-year deal as well. So is that someone else we need to be looking at extending? Should we really be pushing the boat out and try and sign Joe Lewis permanently? Someone did say earlier, I did see a comment earlier about Alex Bass, which I think is, I don't think that's ever going to happen, unfortunately. I think he's just too good. I think Sunderland will probably, if we don't go into League One, they'll loan him to a League One team next year to see how he gets on at a higher level. And Ali, the point there regarding why can't we hold on to Ali until the summer? I think we will hold on to Ali till the summer. I think that's a no-brainer. I think he's been told he's enjoying his football. He's playing international. I think he goes away in the Asia Cup in January for a month, I believe he's going to be away for the Asia Cup. He's enjoying his football for the first time. I say he's enjoying his football for the first time. He's playing regularly, scoring goals, and looks like he's enjoying it. He never had that at Wickham. He's gone from a bench warmer at Wickham, not playing at Swansea, to joining us. The fans love him. His profile's massive now because of Wimbledon. And I think we will keep him to at least the summer, and then we'll sit down with him and say to him, what does he want to do? Does he want to stay with us, possibly in League Two, and have another, or does he move to the Championship with Bristol or one of the other clubs? The people that are speaking, or if you want to speak or send a comment, who is the main person that we should be looking to tie down to at least a couple of years now? Who would you be looking at and thinking, right, we need to get them sorted, and would you be pushing the boat out for Joe Lewis? Who wants to start off on that one? Tim, are you still there? Do you want someone who goes up north and stuff?
Well, obviously, I'd like both of them to stay. I mean, I've been impressed with Little and Lewis all season. I mean, I think basically we have a spine, don't we? We have Bass, Lewis, Reeves, Little and Ali, and they're the five I don't think we can really do without. I think of those five, Little is actually the one we probably have the most competent replacements for. I think Ball and Lakin and even Tilly could step in. The other four, I'm not sure. I think they're pretty much irreplaceable from the current squad anyway.
No, I agree. I think Joe Lewis for me is a massive one I think we should be looking at. I don't know if Stockport will sell him. I know he signed a contract. I think till in the next year, I'm not 100% sure. I know Matt's put it up previously on there before, but I'm not sure. Terry, what did you want to say regarding that?
Yeah, I think we should try with Joe Lewis. But a little sort of reading between the lines thing is Stockport wouldn't let us play him in the League Cup, but they've allowed him change of heart to play in the FA Cup. So maybe they've had a look around and thought, well, maybe he's not so important for us for next season. So there might be a chance. With them back, I think the Sunderland number two at the moment is playing up. He wants to go. So I can see him going and Sunderland wanting him back. So there's a problem there. And we've got to get Little signed up for another, at least another year, if not 18 months, 2 years. With Burgle, I think that could be, I think that really is up to the player. I'm sure Wimbledon will make him an offer. It will be up to him whether to take it. I don't see that we need to fight him for it. Definitely, we stretch for some players and others, it's a little bit take it or leave it. But I think we've got to get another striker in to fill in for Ali when he's away. That's vital, because if we keep this team as we are, we look like at least getting in the playoff area. And we could go backwards if we haven't got Ali or someone to knock the goals in after January.
No, I agree. I think your point regarding Bugle, I think I agree. He's been, at Sunderland, now us. At Sunderland? I mean, Sutton, sorry. So he was at Sutton, and now he's with us. So he's going to be local. He's going to live close enough. I think that would be, and I think that's not a hard sell, to be fair to him. I think, we don't have to push that. I think you're right, Alex Bass, unfortunately, is going to be I think he's just way off our league, unfortunately, and I think he'll move on. I don't know if we'll... I think Zanev will probably leave in the summer, and then we might need to be looking at a new keeper to come in. But yeah, I think you're right, Kevin. Kevin, I'll come to you. Then we'll go Sanch, and then we'll go Adam Hillman.
I think I'd agree with you, mate. I don't think Ali will go till the summer. I think if he's got any sense, he'll get a better move in the summer than he will in January, because he's playing every week. This has got to be better for him. He spent a lot of time on the bench doing nothing. Yeah. I think he really appreciates where he is at the moment. So I don't think he's a silly lad. I think he'll be sensible. So we might be okay. Curry looks like he might go in January, because if he don't go January, he'll go for nothing. And possibly, do you know what? That might be one to throw a bit of a punt of a contract at in January and just go, look, we'll pay you what you're worth or a little bit more, so we don't lose him in sort of the summer for nothing. I'd be surprised if we haven't got options on Little and Bugle for a year. Not many players get signed for a year and then don't have an option after that. Little seems like he's enjoying it. He ain't going to go back to Forest Green, is he? So, you know, he's our player, but you can't see him wanting to rush back there. So I think he'd be quite an easy sell. I really do think we should be looking to tie them up. I think the bigger question, and I don't know what other people think about this, is will the board or the club collectively have the balls to actually try and go for something in January? You know, if we're around it, in and around it, yeah, we've definitely got a squad that's got the playoffs, you know, comfortably in it. Yeah, will they be willing to spend that little bit of money that could potentially get us in? That's the bigger question for me.
No, I agree, and I agree with your points regarding I think Imani Little, maybe we put him on a 1 year with an option because of his injury. So he was injured, weren't he, in the summer?
Yeah,
everyone was saying he was going to be out for quite a long time. I think he's come back quicker, and we didn't know how bad or how much he was going to play. So that may be why we offered him a year. And as I said, you're probably right regarding an extra year on top of that as well, with us having the option. I think you're right. I think it depends on where we are within the league. At the moment, I think we could be around the playoffs. So I think it's crucial that we keep Ali. And I think it's crucial that then we go and sign another striker, though. I'd like to see a young striker come in, because Ali, I think, will be gone in the summer. But he's gone for a lot of period in January. And I think, yeah, we need someone in. My big worry is that we lose Curry in January, because, as you said, he's out of contract in the summer. I did hear that we had an option on him, but I don't know if that's 100% true. But, yeah, if he goes in January, we haven't got another left-back at the moment. I don't want to see Johnson going left-back and Pierce playing every week at centre-back. As I said earlier, we know we can rely on Pierce to come in when we need, but not playing week in, week out. And Jack Curry is so crucial to what we do at the moment. I really worry that we'll lose him in January for 300 grand or something to a Bolton, or who else was into Bristol or something like that. Sanch, what did you want to say? Then I'll come to Adam.
Yeah, I think the big one is, like you and I think Kevin said, we need to try and tie down Curry. You know, he's absolute mustard. You know, he's the future of the club. If I had a choice, I'd like Lewis. I don't think Stockport will let him go. I also like Lemon and Little and Bugle. Get them on another year is something to put the cat amongst the pigeons. Someone yesterday said to me, again, it's probably just rubbish, Piggott coming back and Taylor in January. I don't think that's the case, but I think we've got Ali hopefully to the end of the season, and then he goes, but then we've got to look at what we do in terms of getting a proper goal scorer.
With regards to Piggott coming back, can't see it. I don't know if he's playing much at Orient, but I wouldn't want him back at the moment. He hasn't played again in ages, to be fair. He ain't played regular football for a little while. Taylor is just signed for Wickham, so I can't see how. I don't know if it's a contract where he's game-to-game basis, or he's signed for 6 months or till January, Taylor's contract at Wickham. But again, it's not someone else I would like someone to come back, really. Again, someone that hasn't played a lot. He looked like he needed a lot of games when he played against us the other week. Joe made the point, Joe Merger, who does all our graphics and stuff, has made a point that we have an option on Curry for another year. And we'd get conversation if he was out of contract anyway. So if we have got that option on Curry, then that puts us in a very strong position, and I think we'll keep him then to the summer. So I don't get why we have to panic. Unless someone comes in for 5 million for Ali, then yeah, we'll bite their hands off, because we lose 25% to Wickham. But yeah, I think, yeah, if someone comes in with a mad offer for the players, then we have to look at it. But yeah, for now, we're not in any panic buys. Jonathan, before I come to you, I'm going to go to Adam, then I'm going to go to Matt, and then I'll come back to you, all right, mate? Adam, what did you want to say?
Hiya, yeah. I think we should keep Ali for like 5 years, maybe 5 year contracts like that, because last time we had Piggott last time, then we got sold, and then we had Tor up front, so that's worrying thing, really. So if we lose Ali, and no one else left as a striker. We stuffed completely like when Pickett left. So that's my main issue, really, trying down Ali for another 3 or 4 years.
Unfortunately, Adam, I think that is high in the sky regarding getting Ali on a 5-year deal. There's no chance that's going to happen. He knows his name's all around the place. His reputation is as high as it's ever been. As I said, I don't know how long his contract is. I think he leaves in the summer. I think we've told him, look, stay here. Don't go in January because you might have another experience where you're at Wickham and you go and sit on the bench all the time and you're not playing, you're going to be unhappy. Stay here, score goals, enjoy your international football as well, which you're doing now, and you're scoring goals for Iraq. Stay till the summer. We then will look at the bids that are coming in. And if it's a nice bid, which I assume at that time it will be, I think we then let him go. And that we might be in the playoffs, we might be in the top three by then. We go up, he moves on to the championship, and it's win-win across the board for everyone. But yeah, I can't see us getting him on a 5-year deal, unfortunately, mate.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Matt, what did you... No problem, Adam, thanks. Matt, what do you want to say? Then I'll go back to John, because he had a point regarding this.
Just a quickie, Lee, on the whole, like, keeping players fun, and I think, you know, everyone would agree, we'd love to keep Ali, we'd love to keep Curry, you know, sign Lewis, sign Bass, all this stuff. The biggest concern I've got is I just don't see where the money's coming from to fund any of this. You know, I'm definitely not an accountant, but there's enough mates that are fans that are into all this stuff. And they've pointed out, like, the holes in the most recent budget, which came out last week, it's terrifying. Like, the only reason we're still afloat, essentially, is because we sold £2 million worth of players, Rodoni and Assol, last year. And even then, we only just about made a small profit. You know, we're talking about signing players that we've got on loan, etc. There is no money in the bank, guys. You know, the bond hasn't been paid off. That costs us £400,000 a year. We lost last season over £220,000 more. We lost £220,000 on catering last year than we did the year before, even though the attendances are going up. So the attendances might go up this year. We're going to lose another £200,000 based on the current trend. So as much as I'd love to sign these players, I just don't, there's no magic money tree. We don't have, you know, that owner that's going to put the cash in. You know, it's the Don's Trust and the trust members and et cetera who kind of, you know, make those decisions. And, you know, the money's just not going to be there, you know, unfortunately, and unless anyone's got a few £100,000 in their back pocket to pay it.
No, I don't know the ins and outs regarding the finances. I'm not an accountant, far from it, to be fair. I'm pretty poor with maths. I don't really look into the numbers too much. I'm just, most fans who just think, right, we'll sign this player, we'll sign that. But the only thing we have got sellable assets regards to the players on the pitch. So we've got Curry, we have got Ali, do you know what I mean, that will make up money. And hopefully we'll invest some of that back into the playing fund. The FA Cup, the Carling Cup, or the Carabao Cup, as it was called, the EFL Trophy. I know people poo-poo the EFL Trophy. But we are making money from it, hopefully we don't budget for the cups. So hopefully we get past Ramsgate, and then we get a good third round tie, and we can make some money from that, and that can be put into the playing budget in January. I know what you're saying, Matt, regarding the funds. It's not looking great. I'm not 100% regarding them. Graham Stacey, Handy Link 2 accounts being discussed. So he's just put that on for anyone who does. Want to look at that. Martin Drake, that's not how... that's something totally different. I'm not going to go on that. That's absolute bull. I would be shocked if Jack... this is from Paul Massey again. I would be shocked if Jack did anything to force a move when out of contract. Not much loyalty in foot these days, but Jack is one of the good ones. The accounts don't make great reading. Positive playing budgets, so CC needs to work that spreadsheet hard. I think that's the thing as well. We have got Craig Hope now, and knows non-league pretty well. Hopefully we can find some gems that are not going to cost us too much. We have Ryan McLean and Morgan Williams out on loan at conference teams, and Morgan Williams is smashing it at Woking, and I'm hoping McLean's doing the same. I'm not sure if he's playing too much at Kidderminster, but he is a youngster and he is one for the future. But we have sellable assets, and hopefully we can get a good cup run. Jonathan, you wanted to come back on something regarding someone saying regarding the Danny transfer window.
So I think that in the transfer window, we have to get a striker, and we have to get a striker that is not only going to contribute this year, but is going to be one of our main options next year as well. And that's why I want everybody to stop talking about Pigott and Taylor. Just stop. Just stop. Okay. We need to get another Ali Alhamidi type, someone who's kind of flying under the radar that Craig Cope sees the potential in, that we can get in on a 2-year deal, you know, that we can get and bring and have be a viable option, not just for the rest of this year and all of next year. And Matt, I agree with you a little bit on the money. I think one of the things that we need to remember is that we have some big contracts that are coming off the books. I mean, I'm pretty sure next year we're not going to be paying Pell, Davison, Brown, and Pierce. Now, maybe that's not a ton of money, but that's when you can talk about maybe extending Little, maybe getting Lewis in or something like that. So I think there is, yeah, it's not like there's piles of money sitting around, but we do have some contracts that we are paying people a decent amount of money for not being on the pitch. And I think when those four contracts come off the books, I think that's going to give us a little more flexibility. But yeah, it's not like there's, I don't think extending Little is going to happen anytime soon because the money isn't there. But I do think that when you look into next year's finances, there could be an option to take some of those savings from those big contracts and move it over to them. But issue number one has to be bringing in a young striker in January. I think that's critical.
No, I agree with your point there, Jonathan. And I think you make a great point regarding the players we're going to have out of contract in the summer that are not on, say, massive amounts of money, but they earn decent money. Your Pierces, your Browns, Zanevs, people like that who will be out of contract in the summer. With the goalkeeper, I think we follow that model now going forward regarding getting a lone keeper from a higher level. It worked for us very well in the past. Kelly Roos, people like that, even Trott that was at West Ham, he came in, he wasn't the worst keeper I've ever seen. Don't get it wrong, he wasn't blowing people away, but he was a good shot stop. He was a good keeper. And I think that's the model that we follow. Yeah, I agree again with regards to a striker. We need to get a young striker, maybe a non-league gem that comes in and is happy to be playing come January a little bit, but then is a bit part till the summer and smashes it next season when Ali moves on. As I said before, we have sellable assets. We have players on that pitch that we can sell for half decent money. And we need to be doing that every year. There's boys coming through our academy now. Morgan Williams earlier. We've got Kai Jennings. There's the young lad who was, 15 the other day when he came on against Wickham. Yeah, we have got players coming through. It's not all doom and gloom. And hopefully we'll be promoted into League One. And maybe we yo-yo for a couple of years up and down and we pick up gems and stuff like that and sell them for more money than we buy them for. And that's, I think, how we have to do it now. We have to be the women involved. And that's what we did back in the day. And that's what we'll do going forward. Right. It is coming up to 9:00. I'm going to wrap it up now because I am absolutely shattered. Long day at work tomorrow. Another 15-hour day. I've also got some babysitting to do tonight. So, yeah, thanks everyone for taking part. Everyone who came on to speak, really appreciate it. Otherwise, it's just me waffling nonsense to myself. Everyone listening, I do appreciate you coming on and listening. Have a good week, everyone. We're at Gillingham on Tuesday. Come on, you dunce.